today we are sitting down in White Bear Lake, yes, Minnesota. And I actually have Chris Erickson with me, which is crazy because I've known you for probably a good 30 some years, or known of you for a long time. But you have been a huge advocate for this project that I'm doing, as well as a really good liaison. You're my liaison? Is that a word? Liaison?
Liaison.
My advocate person. Anyway, so I am so glad. I'm going to start this voice thing here, too, because I always feel like I'm going to lose a really good recording and then not have it, and it freaks me out. So I'm recording you twice. All right, so welcome to the podcast. We're sitting in White Bear Lake in Chris Erickson's basement, and it's nice and air-conditioned and cool, and it feels fantastic in here. So start us off with some of your story. I know that was a really abrupt, horrible introduction.
That was a fantastic introduction. Thank you so much, Annette. Yeah. This is a beautiful summer day to be sitting in a nice air-conditioned basement, and it feels nice and cool down here. Thank you. Let's see. We have lived here in Minnesota for 5 years now. We moved here from Iowa for the healthcare in Minnesota because our son Bentley is now 10 years old. And we moved because he basically outgrew the healthcare options for his neurosurgery needs in Iowa. And at that same time, Iowa was privatizing their Medicaid, which if you have a child with disabilities, they rely upon Medicaid for their secondary payer needs. And so Iowa was privatizing. And at that moment, Iowa was saying, you can't go out of state for your healthcare. And Iowa at that time was saying, the healthcare he was receiving was saying, hey, we don't know what to do with him. We've kind of exhausted what we can do. Sorry about your luck, but we can't help you. So payer-wise, can't leave the state. Healthcare saying, we can't help you. So as a parent, we're faced with a life and death decision, and he needed surgery. Mm-hmm. So what do you do as a parent? You go, well, shit, we're going to have to move. Mm-hmm. So we found that information out in the end of 2015. Okay. And at that time, Iowa was planning to privatize in December of 2015. So we went to the Capitol to advocate, and I testified at the Capitol. And at that time, Terry Branstad was the governor.
And has he, like, been the governor forever?
Fuck. He has been the governor.
He was a governor when I lived there.
He was a governor when I was a kid. Yeah. And then he, you know, came back from the dead and was reelected again. And so the day that I went to speak at the Capitol, they conveniently handed out a memo that said, oh, yeah, we're going to postpone this until April 1st, which was super convenient because there were a whole bunch of pissed off parents there. And then there were, I think, three or four privatized healthcare insurance companies that had been hired to manage the privatized Medicaid. And so here's all these people, and there are like 30 people that were allowed to speak at 10 o'clock the night before I had put in their request to speak, and I got the permission to speak. I don't know how, but it was purely by the grace of God. So here I am with my poster, and I'm up there, you know, completely full of my pissed off mom rage. And we show up and the whole rotunda is full of angry people. And this mom and advocate, her name was Rhonda Schaus, I think was her last name. She has since passed away. She had bussed in people to advocate, and this woman was fierce. She was absolutely the most wonderful advocate. And the place was full. It was awesome. And so here I am with my poster, and I'm up there, and I'm giving them hell. And you get 3 minutes. And in my 3 minutes, I had researched them. I'm like naming them out on this this committee. And I'm like, you know, how dare you? My kid's not going to survive this. And just gave him hell. Left my poster there. Liz Mathis to this day said, hey, I will hang my poster, you know, Bentley's poster up in my office. And I believe her because she's a woman of truth and belief. And it ends up passing. Iowa's Medicaid goes to complete shit. People are dying from it. But we moved on March 29th up here and Iowa privatized April 1st.
Wow.
Yeah.
So take us back to Bentley's beginning.
Yeah. So Bentley was born in 2011. He was born at 31 weeks. And he was born by emergency C-section because the umbilical cord is wrapped around his neck. He could stop moving. So we showed up in Des Moines and said to check on him. And here we're clothes on our back in Des Moines from little old Geneva, Iowa. Mm-hmm. And he's born there in Des Moines. And we did not know how complex he was going to be. So he was born with no left ear. His esophagus was not connected at the top. And the bottom part of his esophagus was in hooked to his trachea. No left kidney, a couple holes in his heart. And he was only weighed 2 pounds, 10 ounces. He was just super complex. His lungs were very premature. He didn't look good at all. It was a lot. It was a lot to take in. When we were in Des Moines, the surgeon came in a couple days into it and just said, he's too complex to stay here. You know, while we would love to help you, we don't advise that you stay here. And it was a closed door discussion. They just said it would be best if you took him to Iowa City. Don't stay here. So we put him in an ambulance and we went to Iowa City on Father's Day. We spent 4 months there. And it's really where I believe that God puts you where you're meant to be when you're meant to be there. So we got there on a Sunday, which was Father's Day. And the surgeon that met us there, his name was Dr. Pitcher. And I'm, you know, the mean old nurse. And so he wanted to put this suction tube down Bentley's throat. And I told him no. And he said, what do you mean no? And I said, I told you no. If you put that tube down his throat, you're going to kill him. And he said, nobody tells me no. And I said, that's cute, but I'm telling you no. And he said, you're the first person that's told me no, so you might want to get used to it. So I said, we can compromise. I'll allow you to put the suction tube in if I hold onto your arm, and when I tell you to stop, then you're going to stop. And he said, all right. So he got the suction tube, and I held onto his arm, and he started to put it down, and you could see the tube poke out right by Bentley's jawbone. And he said, you're right. If I had put the tube down, I would have killed him.
Oh, wow.
And for the next 4 months, he paraded in his residents, his little baby doctors, and told them that story. And then he said, this is why you need to listen to parents. And to this day, I have his cell phone number, and whenever I need him, I text him, and then we magically can just show up at the university's door, and he just sees Bentley kind of off the books as we need him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So Bentley spent 4 months there, and it's one of those, God puts you where you need you, where he needs you, when he needs you there. So the procedure that Bentley needed to have his esophagus repaired had never been done at the University of Iowa. So Bentley's esophagus was at the top part was only 5 millimeters deep. And the way that it was repaired in his neck. And the surgeon that repaired it, he told us the story that his training was in South Africa. And that surgeon, he was trained by a surgeon that had done that surgery in South Africa, and he had watched that specific surgery be done in his residency. But there's only a couple of surgeons in the world that do that specific type of repair, and they're not here in the U.S. And so when they went, he went to repair Bentley's esophagus. He wasn't planning on doing that specific type of repair because he had thought Bentley's esophagus had grown enough. And it ended up being that they had to switch out the type of repair in the middle of the surgery. And it was by the grace of God that he was able to repair it in that manner.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how each way the stars have lined up has just been like God just puts him where he needs him to be. It's just... it's like how we found Gillette.
Yeah. Okay, so what is Gillette? And what... it's a hospital?
It's a hospital here in the Twin Cities, and it's meant to care for kids with medical complexities over a lifetime. And we found that when we had exhausted the care we could receive in Iowa. So, like I said, when Bentley's care, his neurosurgery care had been exhausted in Iowa, and Bentley needed this new surgery, we were looking, and in a two-week period of time, we knew he needed surgery. We knew we couldn't find it in Iowa. In this two-week period of time, two different people that randomly crossed our path came into our life and said, hey, you know, we did a casual conversation. Oh, yeah, your kiddo has a Chiari malformation. You know, our loved one had that too. And we went to Gillette and we met this surgeon, neurosurgeon, and they fixed that. You should go talk to them. And it was a hairstylist for Nathan and then somebody that he worked with in Ankeny. Just casual conversations. And so then here I call up Gillette, and in Iowa I had been fighting all of the time with insurance companies, and it just, everything was just so fucking hard. You call about something and you have to jump through all these hoops. So here I call up and I'm like, I'd like to make an appointment, you know, to see this neurosurgeon. And so I call and they're like, yeah, sure, can you come in a week and a half? And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, we've never been there, so, like, what paperwork do I have to fill out? And, you know, who do you need to talk to? And they're like, no, you can come in a week and a half. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, it has to be harder than that. And they're like, no, you can come in a week and a half. I'm like, okay, but if I come in a week and a half and, like, you're not going to see him, like, I mean, so... what shit do you need before we come? And they're like, just come. And I told Nathan, I'm like, this isn't going to happen. We're going to drive up there and shit's not going to roll. So we come and we walk in. It's like friggin' Disney World. Like, things are on time. People are happy. This guy comes up to us and he's like, we've been coming here for 25 years. They've been taking care of my son. This is like the greatest place ever. And I look at Nathan, I'm like, do we have newbie tattooed on our forehead or something? and that it's seriously like where Disney World and like God meet and healthcare happens. I'm not kidding you. And then they call us back there and I'm like, oh, we're just going to meet, you know, like the nurse or, you know, the intake person. And the neurosurgeon walks in. And he's nice. And I don't know if you've met neurosurgeons. Most of them are assholes. This guy's nice. And he spent like an hour and a half with us.
Did he use terminology that you could actually understand and everything too?
For sure. And like, he talked to Bentley. And like, he read the chart. There was no like, oh, tell me your story. Or like, you know, which ear does he have a tube in? Because, you know, Bentley only has one ear. That's my favorite. He knew his shit. And, like, he was helpful. And it's like that every time. There's no, like, oh, you have to tell me your story. Like, it's like, you know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas with your family. Like, you just pick up where you left off. Mm-hmm. That's how it is every time. It's magical.
How many kids are there? Like, a lot?
They see a bajillion.
Yeah.
From all over the world. And they call you by name. You're not mom and dad. like, Bentley walks in there and he's like a rock star. They're like, dude, Bentley, you're back. They all know him. And when he comes in, they're like, hey, Bentley, I still have the heart you gave me. We keep it right here on the desk. I can't wait to see you until next time. Yeah, it's like family there. That's how cool it is. But the neurosurgeon, we went in and we saw him, and he's like, oh, yeah, this is my bread and butter. I do this every day. Not like, oh, I can't do this, you know, don't come back. Mm-hmm. And so we had surgery there, and then they took care of Bentley, and it was so amazing. And not to say that other hospitals are bad or anything, because other hospitals have really great things that they do really, really well. It's just that their forte wasn't complex kids. And Gillette's forte is complex kids. And when we were getting care at a different hospital, I always felt like we were just waiting for him to die. And so we never slept, and we didn't really ever leave the room. You know, it was just always waiting for something to happen, because he has, you know, like 35 diagnoses. And so you're just always questioning, you know, well, if they're focusing on this, are they worried about all of these other things and the snowball effect? And at Gillette, it was like, oh, wait, we have all of this. You can breathe, and I could sleep, or we could eat, or I could go to the bathroom, and I wasn't waiting for him to die. Mm-hmm. And I stopped asking, is he going to survive this? Because I felt like they took that into account, and I didn't have to ask, you know, is he going to die? Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like they were also worried, you know. They were also worried about if he was going to die. And, like, they carried some of that weight with them, too. Mm-hmm. Didn't have to carry it around by myself.
And he was 5 when you brought him there?
Yeah. Wow. So, now I quit asking.
Mm-hmm. And he's, like, thriving now.
Yeah. He just had his 20th surgery in May.
He's 10 and he's had 20 surgeries?
Yeah.
Wow. And how many more does he have to have? Or you don't know?
I don't know. He has another one coming up in January.
Wow. So what are, as a parent, what are some things that you're advocating for kids with multiple medical complexities? Or actually, start with some verbiage stuff. Like, educate. And I don't, maybe it's not your job to educate people on how to speak, but
they're kids.
Yeah.
They're kids. So first, Bentley's a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's what's most important. He's a kid. And, you know, he's just a kiddo who loves to play his Xbox. And when we were remodeling, the TV upstairs didn't get a stay, so he got the cool big TV. So this is his Xbox space. Nice. Down here. He's super stoked about it. So he's a kiddo first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he has some disabilities, and he has some medical complexities. And he's a student at school that has an IEP. And he receives some special education services. And he has received some discrimination at school, and what we're advocating for is accessibility and equity in his education, and that's what's important.
Is he going to a public school?
He is going to a public school, and was recently had trouble accessing a bathroom at school, which was super fucking challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in 2021, we shouldn't have to advocate for a bathroom. And parents that live this life, accessing bathrooms for their child as they age is just a big challenge. So, you know, when you have little kids, those diaper changing areas you see in a public bathroom are great until your kids get to be 50 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't have a space. So when your child is incontinent, you know, before Bentley was able to go to the bathroom, you know, you struggle with where do you change your child?
Yeah.
And that's where that life becomes so isolating, because you don't want to change your bathroom or you change your child on a bathroom floor because that's disgusting. And that's where families that live this life are like, where do we go? So if there's not a place that has a safe bathroom, people stay home and they become isolated. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you struggle and you're like, you know, you figure out where the great bathrooms are. Or, you know, you get super grouchy and you use the display at Kohl's.
Which did you do that?
Yeah. I may have, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kohl's. I'm not sorry.
Not sorry.
I'm not sorry. But your linens are nice.
But that's something that I guess I wouldn't have noticed, because, I mean, I noticed there's handicapped bathrooms.
Yeah.
And I noticed there are changing tables. But I wouldn't notice if there's a handicap accessible. In my mind, it's just like, oh, somebody in a wheelchair or somebody, you know, that needs it is for them. But, yeah, you're right. Like, if you're a parent needing to help a child or a grown adult or something, yeah, that completely eliminates you from being able to go places.
Yeah.
Are there places that are accessible like that?
There are growing numbers of places. So airports are getting better. There are some retail stores that are getting better that are just putting like a large table out.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that Gillette has the best bathrooms in the entire place that I've ever seen, because they have a huge like hydraulic table that is just amazing.
Wow.
That is super accessible, and I wish I could take everybody there. And if people would model their bathrooms after Gillette, it would just be flipping awesome. Mm-hmm. So yeah, people need to grow with the time. So meeting the minimum expectation of the ADA is, you know, minimum. But if people could grow with the times, that would just be, you know, fucking awesome.
Right.
Yeah. As, you know, it's super frustrating. I love when people are like, oh yeah, you know, we're all pro-life. People are all pro-life for the first breath. What about pro-life for the whole life?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's real super handy.
Mm-hmm. Have you ran into issues with, like, insurance or... So, I mean, you don't have to tell me your financial situation by any means, but I can't imagine it's very inexpensive, one, just to have a child in general, but to have a child that has to have several surgeries or several... and ongoing care.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, I work as a nurse, and Nathan is self-employed. And so I have...
And one badass person who can do everything.
Yes, he is absolutely the most amazing man I've ever met in my entire life. So I have family health insurance, and that covers a lot. It covers a lot, and we do fight like crazy to get it to cover most everything. And then what it doesn't cover, that's where that supplemental Medicaid that I was telling you about covers. Mm-hmm. In the first 4 years of Bentley's life, his healthcare averaged about $1 million a year.
Wow.
So that's where that supplemental Medicaid helps. So Bentley has a nurse that cares for him during the day, and on average, that just his nursing care costs about $15,000 to $20,000 per month.
Mm-hmm.
And that is thank you to health insurance. And then he has a waiver. It's called a Medicaid waiver. And every state is required to have what's called a Katie Beckett waiver. And each state is allowed to run their Medicaid as they see fit. And Minnesota is one of the most generous states. And as the further you go south, the least it is. So like in Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
We had looked at moving to Tennessee when Bentley was born because we have some family there.
Vanderbilt's there, which is, okay.
Yeah. They have thousands of people waiting on a wait list for a Medicaid waiver. So had we moved there, we would have been not been able to receive care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's bad. It's super bad if you're... living with a disability, needing that supplemental Medicaid in order to survive.
Mm-hmm.
the things they don't teach you. I didn't know any of this until Bentley was born and had to learn this. So, you know, when you have a child with disabilities, it's not like they give you a handbook. Right. And I remember when Bentley was born, I met with a care manager and she said, "Here's a stack of forms. I know you're not going to remember this and you're going to be thankful for this later, but I just need you to fill these out. Just trust me." I'm like, okay. And so I remember filling them out. And as we discharged, she's like, "Just trust, we filled out all the forms. You're going to need these." And when I got home, as we were driving in the driveway, my private insurance called me, I'm not kidding you, and said, "Yeah, your private insurance isn't going to cover Bentley's nursing care." I'm like, "What do you mean? They're not going to cover it." And the nursing care was supposed to start when we left the hospital. "How am I supposed to work?" They're like, "Yeah, that's on you."
What?
Yeah. And so the Medicaid at that time in Iowa would cover Bentley's nursing care. So only in Minnesota does our private insurance cover it, but in Iowa it didn't. And then in Iowa, the tube feeding that Bentley receives wouldn't cover it, so he was on really shitty tube feeding, and he was sick all the time, in and out of the hospital all the time with pneumonia. He was on this super shitty formula. He would just throw up all the time. When we move here, he can get high quality tube feeding because our insurance covers it here.
Are you just lucky that you moved to Minnesota, or did you know that it was that much better?
I did not know that. I only knew that the hospital care at Gillette was good. Yeah. I didn't know the rest of it was so good. So the tube feeding that he's on is called Real Food Blends, mm-hmm. and the ingredients are like beef, potatoes, vegetables, the specific vegetable. There's six different flavors. And like fruit juice. There's no ingredients you can't pronounce. It's all just natural food, and it's mm-hmm. made by parents that have a child like Bentley, and they didn't want to feed him shit food, so they created it and then made good food. But in Iowa, we couldn't get that.
Well, you could probably get it. You just have to buy it.
Right, but you can't afford
which
is it.
Insane.
Yes. Yeah. So then here, our insurance company initially said, "Well, we aren't going to approve that because, you know, we don't want to pay for it." And then we had a meeting of the minds with the insurance company, and I explained them how you mind the gap between what the right thing to do is, and you don't tell people that you don't want to pay for things. Yeah.
Right.
I give a really great mind your gap speech.
I don't, you're kind of sassy for, like, you're kind of, not that, I just feel like you have, like, this, not purpose, but, I mean, obviously you had a purpose prior to, but, like, you're a great person to have a voice for Bentley. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy. So what's his, what are, like, just tell us some of the things that you absolutely love about your kid, because he's pretty, I don't know him outside of Facebook and seeing what you post, and then our families are somewhat related, which is really weird. Like, and so I see things that way, but, like, tell me some of the cool things about his personality.
He is, you know, he lights up the room wherever he goes. He loves his brother, Clint. He loves his sister, Kennedy. He thinks that, you know, they walk on water. He's fearless. He has the strength of an army. You know, nothing gets him down. He's happy all the time. He's absolutely the most loving being that I've ever met. He's taught me more in 10 years than I'll ever teach him in my entire life.
Yeah. And does he have other kids that he gets to hang around, or, like, he goes to school?
Yeah.
So they're on summer break right now, right?
Yeah.
So he's in regular classes.
Yeah.
Do they do a great... So I learned something new not too long ago. I had worked with I don't want to say the name of who I worked with. I worked with a center that was specific to a specific special need. And I interviewed another lady, and she was like, well, that's great. Like, the intention there is probably wonderful. Like, it's not like it's a bad intention, but it doesn't actually promote inclusion. It promotes separation of, like, okay, you're this kind of kid. You get to hang out with this kind of kid, and then, you know, the quote-unquote normal kids don't actually ever interact with each other. And I had never really thought about that. I was just like, oh, this is like a really good idea, and this is a center that's helping people. And she was like, and it is. It's not like the resources aren't great for each child, but if we're really promoting inclusion, and if we're really promoting, you know, equity, yeah, then it needs to be, okay, our kids can be on the same playground as your kids. Our kids can be in the same classroom as your kids. And we learn to adapt all together and just include versus separate. And I never really even thought of that,
yes. And I can absolutely see both sides of it. You know, we absolutely want inclusion and equity. That's our goal, so that, you know, Bentley can have the most... Our goal is that he lives a life of choice in the end, you know, that he lives where he wants to live and he does the things that bring him joy, you know, as an adult. And he lives truly that life of choice wherever it is, if it's, you know, in a lake house or, you know, if it's here, wherever it is. And he lives with who he wants to live with. But there is that vulnerability as well. And, you know, there's that mama bear in me that wants to scoop him up and protect him. And, you know, after fighting so hard just to have access to a bathroom for the last 4 months, and that nearly brought me to my knees because a public school denied him access to a bathroom, there's a part of me that wants to buy a bus and follow you, you know.
Go on.
I'm not kidding. It's like, fuck, if you can't give a 10-year-old access to a bathroom in public school, fuck all y'all. Mm-hmm. I'll put him on a bus and let him go see the mountains and protect him.
Yeah.
So it's a struggle.
And you would think, like you said earlier, it's 2021.
Yeah.
Like, it's high, and there's a lot of companies and stuff that are doing better at promoting that they are inclusive.
But does their walk match their talk?
Right. Like, okay, we put a face of a person in a wheelchair on our advertising. We put a person that's black, white, Asian, whatever color on advertising. But then, is it actually fully inclusive too?
Right.
Yeah, that's definitely. And you obviously see a way more, like, I didn't even realize, like, wheelchairs, for example. And I now have several friends that are in wheelchairs, and my ability of listening and learning about wheelchairs has drastically changed. I'm like, just from sidewalk accessibility, or like being able to get up onto a second story, or like even into my own apartment. Like, I couldn't even have good friends over because I don't have wheelchair accessibility. So from being like, your eyes are now just really open to being, to noticing that.
Yeah.
And noticing how far behind we actually are. Yes. Is there any country or any place that's really doing it well besides the Gillette Hospital?
Yeah, I am not sure because, you know, we don't get to go any, you know, we're not going places, so yeah. I don't know who else is doing it well.
Yeah. So you said, just to talk a little bit on, like, mental health and just self-care health of parents, because, and I had a conversation about caretaking with another person the other day, too, is a lot of times we, from the outside, you know, we're like, wow, your kid needs help, and you're like, really, all the things. But what are resources for parents? Like, do you have any, or do you have a support system? Or you said it can be very isolating and very lonely. What do you do to, like, keep in the game and keep okay for yourself? Yeah, if anything. Yeah. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're just drinking and pulling your hair out and crying. I don't know. Yeah. That's okay, too.
It is super isolating. And, you know, it's... Nathan is amazing. And I think that he has done this amazing job of creating our oasis here, of creating our home of Zen. And we, you know, this is our bubble. And we guard it very well, of creating this safe space for us. You know, we go camping. Bentley's camper is his Make-A-Wish. And so we go up to the lake every weekend, and we have a pontoon up there. So we go there from May till mid-October every weekend that we possibly can. That's where we are. And we make the most of that. And we soak every second of that up. I have a therapist and started that last year. And I highly, highly advise anybody living this life or anybody not living this life, mm-hmm. get a therapist. It's worth every penny. And my beautiful daughter, I love her saying of, you know, you break it, you buy it. You know, if your family fucked you up, they ought to be paying for it. And I wish I could cash in on that. But, yeah, that's I should be paying for my kids' therapy if I could get them to go. Mm-hmm. but this life is hard. And, you know, I try to explain that, you know, when you have a child with disabilities, nobody prepares you for this. It's not like, you know, you get in line and like, oh, you know, here's your handbook and here's, you know, somebody to cheer you on. It's like all of a sudden you wake up one day and you find out you're going to be running a marathon every day and you're not a runner, and like somebody hands you a pair of shoes and here's a roadmap, and, you know, you get a coach and you're going to run a new marathon every day. And in the beginning you're like, what the fuck? And all of a sudden you find out the rules are, if you don't run, your kid's going to die. And so you run. And the next day, you know, you're going to run again. And in the beginning, people are cheering you on. You're like, oh, you can do it. This is, you're going to make it. Yes, it's going to be great. And a year into it, you know, there's like 3 people still cheering you on. And a year into it, you know, you're running and people are like, you're still running? Yeah, my kid's going to die. Mm-hmm. And 5 years into it, there ain't nobody cheering for you anymore. And 10 years into it, they're like, why is she still fucking running? But you're running because your kid's going to die if you don't run. But you look around and you start to appreciate, oh, this trail is beautiful. There's trees along the way. Oh, look at the flowers. I'm into this now. I kind of like the run. I can do this. I got this. Oh, look, there's other people running too. I know why they're running. I get it now. Mm-hmm. This isn't so bad. I got this. You kind of understand it now, but you're still running.
Right.
And that's this life. You start to get it, you understand it, and you appreciate it. And there's, you know, books and poems and all kinds of shit out there that's all kind of cheesy and warm and fuzzy. There's no curse words in there. I'm all full of curse words. You have to get through the grief of it. And there's a lot of grief. And in the beginning, there's a shit ton of grieving of the life that you thought you were going to live. And people don't tell you in the beginning that in the middle there's grief too. There's grief on kindergarten first day. Mm-hmm. You're going to see all the kids there that... you know, that have their typical first day, and your kindergartner isn't having their first day. There's all kinds of grief spots of, you know, I was just telling my friend the other day that, oh, Bentley really likes this show. And my friend's little girl said, that's a baby show. And for some reason, it just hit me. And I thought, you're right, it is a baby show. He's 10 and he's still watching baby shows, and she's younger. I wonder how long he's gonna watch baby shows. Probably for a while. Mm-hmm. And you have those moments of grief of, yeah, he's still watching baby shows.
What's kind of some of your hopes for him for the future?
I hope that someday. Find something that he enjoys that's more than a video game or it's beyond right here.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your fears about the future?
That we'll die, there won't be anybody to take care of him. I am petrified of that, Annette. I am absolutely petrified. And to be honest, I pray to God every time that we get in the car that if we get in an accident that all three of us die together.
Yeah, that has to be an incredible burden.
Yeah. I wish it were easier. I really do. Because it fucking sucks. I've learned in the last year that, you know, there's a great podcast. I suck at listening to podcasts because it's alone here. You know, when you're here alone and Bentley's really chitty chatty, so it's always pretty loud. But my cousin sent me the one on from Glennon Doyle about being careful who you invite on your island. Yeah. And I want to be super trusting of people because I'm like, oh, I get to talk to somebody, you know? And so you get vulnerable and you like, you know, you want to be inviting of who you allow in on your island. And so like we were kind of trusting of the people of the school, and then, you know, the whole bathroom accessibility kind of crumbled. And so now kind of be careful of how much we trust the people around us, and that kind of worries me going forward of, you know, how do we trust people to care for Bentley in a safe way, because mm-hmm. he's vulnerable.
Right.
Yeah.
Do they have, is there resources at all? Like, I know you said that you're the only person who knows, like, his medication.
Or you and Nathan.
And Nathan and
his nurse.
Right. Are there, like, I remember my mom working in nursing homes, and there was like maybe one or two women that were, I always was like, why are these young ladies here? And they're like, well, you know, this is where they live too. And like now as an adult, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. But like, are there places or resources or anything for adults? Like, that's another one of my friends, her brother has cerebral palsy. So that's like a big fear of her mom too, is like, okay, you know, you're, and I'm not saying this in like a bad way, but in like a, how do you prepare yourself? Or it might even be a dumb question, because how the hell do you even fucking prepare yourself for it? But how do you prepare yourself to know you will be the caretaker forever? Like, even after he graduates high school, like at some point, like parents, you know, or do you just appreciate it so much more, you know?
Yeah.
Like, is there, I'm sure there's a silver lining and there's a positive to that too. And like I said, I'm not in your situation and I do not want to bring like the negative gloom and doom cloud over you by any means. But it is like most parents know that, oh, there's that light at the end of the tunnel. You know, you're going to be 18, you're going to go off to college, you're going to da 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 da. And for you, like, that's not the thing. Like, say you live to be 90, you will still be having him in your care. And I don't think a lot of people realize that or even think of that, of parents with kids with needs, that you're along for the long haul too.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I think you know, we initially thought that, you know, he would have more independence and that, you know, we would build this really strong foundation and he would be more independent and you know, I think we still all have hopes that there will be a day where he'll have more independence.
But he's only 10.
He's only 10. So it's not like he's
got some time.
Yeah, he has plenty of time. It's, you know, prepare for, you know, whatever he possibly needs. And we'll always be there and, you know, hope that, you know, the older kids will always be available to help and step in and care for their brother too, which they're both more than willing to do so. You just be prepared. It's a handful to think about.
Yeah. What are some things that you would like to tell people, like things that we from the outside can help with? Like what can, I don't want to say it's from the outside because we should all be inclusive, but like part of what I'm doing with the podcast is to shed light on that we're all very so much more alike than we are different. And also, you know, nobody knows, like when you're walking around Target, nobody knows, like, hey, okay, Chris's story, she's, you know, don't be a dick, you know? Like, just be nicer to people, because you never know what people are battling. But, like, from your perspective as a mom, to somebody like me, like, what can I do to help make this a better world for you and for Bentley?
You are doing it, girl. Oh, my God. You're,
okay,
like
maybe
kindest...
not just me. Sorry. I'm just kidding. There's so many more things that I could do.
No.
But, like, in general, outside of putting a microphone in front of your face and showing up at your house in a pink bus, like, what are things that, just simple things that anybody can do to make, you know, your life or Bentley's life better and more enjoyable?
I think, you know, just being kind to one another is a great place to start. Just, mm-hmm. you know, don't be a dick to each other. Just be kind. And teaching children to be kind to one another. Different is okay. And teaching children that different is okay. And so when children look different or have, disabilities, teaching children to be kind to children with disabilities is a great, great place to start. You know, so if we don't stare at other children, that's a great place. So if
do you get that often?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. From both adults and kids?
Yes.
Do people tend to approach you or ask you or any have conversations at all?
Not very often. Once in a great while. If it's a, you know, we welcome any questions. So I would really encourage, you know, if a kid has a question, come up and ask. If a parent bring your child up and say, my kid has a question, I'll give you a fucking hug if you bring your child up. I mean, I'll give your kid a dollar to ask a question for a teachable moment. Honestly, come up and ask the question. These are great opportunities. If you want to learn about tube feeding, I will stop what I am doing in the middle of Target to teach your child about tube feeding all day long. Mm-hmm. That would be wonderful, just to break down that barrier.
Right.
Because how else are you going to learn it? How else are you going to break down the barrier? Anytime. If a kid comes up and says, you know, why does Bentley have one ear? I will answer that question. Now, if some 40-year-old man is staring at me 3 times, I'm going to call you out for being a dick. As evidenced by the man at the zoo 3 years ago, I called him out for being a dick.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I said, this would be a great opportunity for you to ask a question rather than staring at us for 3 times. You could have taken your children and taken the opportunity to learn rather than staring.
Yeah.
And
how'd that turn out?
Nathan's like, really? I'm like, yes, really.
Onto the dress.
Yes. It would have been fine after the first time, but after the third stare, that's what you get.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Did he apologize or anything? Or just
no, I think the guy was
around,
just like...
his tail between his legs and like, oh my God.
Yeah. 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 So, when you're a grown-ass adult, if you stare, you're going to get it. But I mean... the first stare I get after that, you're fair game. Mm-hmm.
I think, like, a lot of stuff with, even why I do this project, I think is a lot of relearning things that, like, well, you and I, we grew up in the same place. And there's nothing wrong with Ackley, Iowa. It's tiny. But there's not, like, a lot of exposure to different types of people.
Different levels of drunkenness.
Different levels of drunkenness. Yeah. I've also participated in that, too. So this is not judging. It is, like, But it is, it's like, you realize that there's such a big world out there of all different types of people.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, there's just, like, this eye-opening thing that is like, oh, and part of it, fear comes, not that I'm fearful of your kid, I'm not fearful of Bentley, but like, there's an immediate, if you don't know, your immediate thing is to either go to a fear of it, or a judgment of it, or something, whereas like, having the conversation, or educating, or like, tube feeding, for example, to me, I'm like, I wouldn't know what the hell that was. Until 10 years ago or 15 years ago or whatever, when I started being like, oh, this isn't something to be scared of. It's a way of nourishing a person.
Right.
Same thing as, like, breastfeeding. Like, why are we all so surprised when a woman takes her boob out and feeds her kid?
Right.
Like,
yeah. It's just nourishment. We know what it does. Yes.
Like, yeah. It's just another form of, okay, so should I be offended that you're sitting down and eating with a fork?
Right. Oh,
so gross. You know? Yeah. Like, it's just weird. So when you commonize, I don't know if that's even a word, behavior, like, it just becomes, it's just different. Like,
it's, yep, and different is okay.
Yeah, different is okay. Where are, like, some resources or resources to learn about, but places, do you have Instagram or anything like that? Do you want people following you, or do you want people following, where can they get resources? If you know.
I mean, I have an Instagram. There's all kinds of great resources.
I would say this is more towards parents that have kids like Bentley as well. Not like me. Like, where can I go? Well, maybe.
So, like, for, you know, for Golden Heart Syndrome, or, like, the ear community is a great place for kids with microtia, like Bentley has with no left ear. That's a beautiful resource. You know, Minnesota, Hands and Voices is a great place for the, deaf and hard of hearing. Mm-hmm. You know, for...
Does he have a cochlear implant? Or
he
is
does
it
not.
Just
he has just a hearing aid on the right side to help aid and pull extra, sounds.
Is he deaf?
He does not have any hearing in on the left side. So he has no left ear, and there's no hearing on that side.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, as far as hydrocephalus, there's all kinds of information out there. There's not a lot of information on golden har because it's rare.
What is golden har?
Golden har syndrome is what his main diagnosis is, and it's a rare syndrome. And there's just not a lot of information out there. So it's rare.
Yeah. Anything we haven't covered that you would like to cover?
Let's see. I don't think so, other than, you know, this life is just, it's just hard, and hard is hard. There's no numerical value for hard. Mm-hmm. And when you live this life, it's hard to not get lost in it. And I think it's important for parents to know that they're not alone. And it's okay to ask for help. There is tons of parents that are living this life, sitting in their home going, how am I going to get through this? And if you can get through a minute, and you stack another minute on top of that, and you get 10 minutes... and you get, you know, six more 10-minute groups, you get through an hour, you get, you know, another hour on top of that, you get 12 hours, you get two more of that, you get a day, and you just keep getting through day by day. Reach out and ask for help. There's no weakness in that. I found the most help through some of the Facebook groups or some of the Instagram groups of other parents living this life. of parents that I internet know that have a same diagnosis, or kids with same diagnosis that Bentley have. And it was just reaching out in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep because I was just swallowed up in either grief or not knowing what was going to happen. And it was those parents that helped me the most, and their strength in that.
Yeah. I feel like you're going to be like a lobbyist. No, you're a lobbyist. Like a politician. You're going to go into politics or like...
You know, I would love to do that other than
I don't know if anything's stronger than a mom on a mission, though.
Yeah, to advocate like a mother's my favorite hashtag.
Yeah.
I don't know. That and I pretty much fucking hate a lot of people right now of, that, you know, that screw with them. Screw with shit. So my favorite phone call, I have to tell you, though, was when I was advocating for a bathroom, and we had just watched Crip Camp. And if you haven't watched that, you've got to watch the documentary. It's absolutely beautiful.
Crip Camp?
Yes.
Okay.
So Judith Heumann is from Crip Camp, and she's the mother of disability rights. And so I was reaching out to all of my local politicians, and I wrote to Judith Heumann, into her nonprofit, and I was like in the middle of the night, like, and just laying awake. And so I'd written to a bunch of people, and so I wrote to Judith Heumann, and I'm like, please God help me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just, do you have any advice? And like a week and a half later, I'm standing in Walgreens picking up shit, and my phone rings, and I'm like, I don't know anybody in Washington, D.C., but I'm just going to answer it. It was Judith Heumann, the mother of disability rights. I just drop my basket and I walk outside, and she's like, what is going on with your advocating for a bathroom? I did not fight for disability rights in the 70s for you to have to advocate for a bathroom. And she's like, I don't know you, but I feel like I'm kind of a cursing person. I'm like, oh, curse away. She's like, this is fucking bullshit. I'm like, oh, yeah. Fangirl, be still my heart. And I just have to tell you, that was like the, one of the best moments of my life, to hear somebody just validate that this is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Yes. And to be able to speak to somebody who understood how ludicrous it was to have to advocate for an accessible bathroom in 2021.
Right.
And to hear her say, this is fucking bullshit. Just be still my heart.
That was a win.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you don't have to hear that very often.
I don't know. It's kind of fun to say.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hopefully you don't have to say it. Maybe we could be like, this is fucking bullshit. And it's like the positive thing happens.
Yes. Yes. Right. Yes.
Oh my God. Well, thank you so much for letting me stop by and telling your story and just being a badass person. Like, and I say that to a lot of different people because I really truly mean it. I mean, there's a shit ton of badass people out there, but like when you can see it from a distance and know, one, you haven't given up. Well, even prior to Bentley, I knew you had like some edge to you. I knew that. But I love to see people be in the pursuit of something that is great. And it's not just, I mean, it's for your child too, but everything that you do for your kid is a ripple effect to help somebody else too. It might not be like the exact reasoning why you're doing it, but everything that you're doing is going to help other people too. And Bentley's going to have a pretty, pretty good legacy, I think.
I hope so.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to stop this, and I'm probably going to come give you a hug.
Thank you.